Cascade Dramas presents The Crown of Coyopan. This week's front page drama, The Crown of Coyopan, is a dramatic preview of the opening installment of a thrilling new serial of love, adventure, and intrigue by the famous author H. Bedford Jones. This new serial, The Crown of Coyopan, begins in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world, and comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The name of H. Bedford Jones has been magic to the listeners of these front page dramas, as well as to the many hundreds of thousands of readers who have each Sunday enjoyed his many fine stories published in the American Weekly. When you have heard this thrilling dramatic preview, we know you'll want to order your copy of next Sunday's American Weekly in advance from your local news dealer or carrier boy, so that you won't miss a single word of this thrilling tale of romantic adventure. But this is Dick Warren's tale. We're going to let him tell it.
There was a girl aboard the Pan American Airways Clipper. Not even the burning thought of the jewels ahead, the glorious green jewels of the Incas, could keep her off my mind. She was golden-haired and slim, Spanish, of old Gothic blood. I saw her, but she didn't see me. She saw no one. She was that kind. I left the Clipper, the unknown girl in all civilization. For 5 days, I was on muleback, on mountain roads, far into the Andes, to Coyopan. For 10 years, I'd planned this trip after the loot of the Incas, and my vision was now coming true. I was feverish about what lay ahead. Any man who dealt in jewels would have been feverish, since success meant possession of the most glorious emeralds on earth, with an intrinsic value of millions. On the third day, as the mules slowly wound their way up the ancient climbing roadway, a carriage rattled past, behind a pair of full-blooded horses. At the carriage window, again I saw the face of the girl. I questioned my muleteer.
That's in yours. She's Doña Slater of the ancient house, Doña Slater de Soto, last of the name. All the others are dead. She has come home from Spain and elsewhere.
De Soto, eh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. And De Soto left his son in this part of the country while he went forth to barren conquest in Florida.
That's Senora's history.
And she is a direct descendant of De Soto. What else do you know about her?
Nothing, Senor. Except that she has one relative named Isidera. One Don Diego de Rivera, a great man and a great poet.
Yes?
A man of much influence in Coyopan.
When do you think we'll arrive in Coyopan?
By sundown, Senor. But be careful what you do in Coyopan. It is a strange city. There are many creatures there. So, Senor, be on your guard at all times. One little error, and, well, a man dies just as
soon. Oh, that's excellent advice, Pedro. Thank you. I shall remember.
Especially if you are engaged in commerce or business. And
commerce? Business? No, I know nothing about them, Pedro. I am a poet.
A poet? I will spread the news, Senor. Don Diego de Rivera will be very happy.
Very happy, Senor. Very happy indeed.
Pedro did spread the news about me, and it reached the ears of the great Don Diego de Rivera. And as he became the president of the Guild of Poets, did himself the honor to call and look me over. He was thin, saturnine, 50-odd, of exceeding courtesy and still greater shrewdness. For half an hour, he talked in roundabout phrases and resounding compliments before hinting at the subject of his visit.
I have heard, Senor, you are a poet and interested in our guild here in Coyopan. Is that the object of your visit here?
Poetry?
Poetry. Yes, Senor Don, I confess that I am a poet. Not so well known, nor of so exalted eminence as yourself, perhaps, yet in my humble way a poet. My family educated me to deal in gems and gold, but sordid commerce couldn't hold me. I detest it. Coyopan is famous as the home of poets, Senor Don. It's renowned for preserving the purest Spanish civilization extant in language and blood and beauty. It's been my life's ambition to visit Coyopan. My own family have told fantastic tales about it.
Your family are jewel merchants?
Yes. And there are incredible stories, you know, about huge emeralds taken from the Incas by the first conquistadors and still held here.
Fantastic tales, as you say. No emeralds are mined in Colombia today. The ancient mines are exhausted.
Well, that is why I believe the emerald is the most valuable of all gems. However, the subject is distasteful. It touches on commerce, which I abhor.
Spoken like a true poet. You have, Senor, published your poems?
Oh, yes, certainly, yes. They are, of course, in English.
Naturally, Senor. I regret that I do not read English, but many of us here have excellent command of your language. Are you now engaged in poetical labor?
Yes, of course. I'm engaged upon an epic dealing with a hero well known to us in the United States, Hernán de Soto.
Hernando might be the approved form of the name. So that is why you have come to Coyotan, because he was here after the contest?
In part, yes. I understand that he left a descendant who might have relics of the great man. My real urge in coming, however, was because Coyotan is the only city in the world where poetry is an acknowledged career.
True, we have nearly 60 masters of the art in the guild and many aspirants. We do not struggle for wealth. We have sufficient for our needs. Hernando de Soto, Doña Esleta de Soto, who's brought in her name to your standard, is the last descendant of that conquistador. Her house, I believe, does contain certain relics and documents. If you should inspect.
San Diego arranged a meeting between Doña Esleta and myself, but it was just an exchange of formalities. Then, a few days later, I received a formal note asking me to call the following afternoon. This time I went alone. As before, the shadowy and tear-stained faces watched across the room. However, Donna instead of spoke English, but she all Greek to the watching room.
I have collected the mementos of my distinguished ancestors. You care to look at them now?
No, thanks.
No?
Not today. Tomorrow, perhaps, or next week.
Oh.
I might not have another chance to see.
Do you really care about seeing them at all?
Not a bit. Evidently, you are well aware that I don't.
Yes. As a poet, you are known in Philadelphia to be a dealer in gems. In fact, a most exceptional jewel expert. So I'm astonished, Mrs. Hill.
Well, that's over. You see, I adopted the one possible means of approach.
To what?
Well, for years I've dreamed of coming here.
Oh?
I have a passion for emeralds. I might say I'm a poet of emeralds. I don't deal in them exclusively, but they're just like them.
You have that reputation. I recognize your name at once.
Since I was a boy, I've heard rumors about emeralds in Coyotan. Not ordinary emeralds, nor ordinary rumors. But fantastic as the rumors were, I believe them. It's said that shortly after the conquest of Peru, the Spanish leaders who had settled here donated the glorious emeralds taken from the Incas in order to adorn a crown for the statue of the Virgin in the cathedral.
Quite true. The crown of Coyotan. Probably the most wonderful crown in the whole world. And by far the most valuable. This is killing me.
Does it?
I have never seen it. No one, I think, has seen it for a long time.
When I was here before with San Diego, you mentioned the English buccaneers. It said they got it. They were overtaken, defeated, and the crown was recovered. Since then, it's vanished. How much of that was true?
All of it. 450 emeralds. Too valuable for any one church or person to hold. So it was alienated from the church and restored to the families of those who had donated it.
The emeralds are still here in Coyotan.
You said that something. At first, it was merely confided in trust to a group of citizens whose trust descended from father to son, eight of them. The crown was made into eight pieces. So it could be taken apart and put together at will. These eight men were known as the confraternity of the crown.
Mm.
It was extremely secret. Only the eight men knew who held it. But this confraternity still exists. What was once the crown of Coyotan has become private property. Quite legally, I assure you. Today, some of the confraternity are wealthy, some are poor. But all are united in a common bond of trust, of secrecy, and of power and dignity. Let one be threatened and all will be lost. Now, Don Ricardo, we have been talking secrets. I've confirmed all your fantastic legends. They are true. And I ask you, what is it?
Well, Don Ricardo, I'm no buccaneer. I didn't come to steal the treasure. But I did come to get it.
Oh?
I have backing. I can buy it if I can find it. Is that being frank enough?
Well, it says. But it is of the greatest importance both to you and to me that you remember one thing. The confraternity still exists.
That, you see, is why I'm a poet.
That, at least, you have done well. You have convinced even Don Diego that you certainly are a poet. But now you will notice that the table there is by the window in the lounge.
Yes.
One of those vellum bound books holds the records of the Consul's family, my father, while he lived with the secretary.
Oh, may I borrow the volume?
No, no, no. It would be unfortunate for us both. You do not understand the situation here, the people, the danger. If your real errand were even to stop well, you would run. Look at me. With all I have and am, I'm happy. A woman despised, suspected, regarded as a lower being. I mustn't bring danger upon us both.
Very well. No question.
I know that. You may look at the relics of my ancestry. On one condition. Remember, others are present who do not understand our words, but who are watching us. Promise not to take anything from the castle. Look as you please, but do not look anything out in sight.
I promise.
Then look, and you will understand what I have yet to tell you.
In the box was a delicate golden work, 6 inches long and 3 wide. Set with pins and hinges at either end. Exquisite gold work from the age of patient craftsmen like Cellini. This section of chased and carven gold was set with a green shimmer of emerald. I understood at once that I was looking at a piece of the crown of Coruscant. My brain pounded out calculations. 450, she said. All the deluxe shops in America couldn't equal that number of emeralds of such luster. Here before me were 22 emeralds. I counted them. Large and small, they were of one exact shade, a shade of green like nothing I knew. Impossible to define. Lovely beyond words and clear, crystalline limpidity. Never in all my experience had I ever seen such emerald.
Thus it was proven to young Dick Warren that the crown of Coyapan still existed. It was a reality. He had seen one section of the crown. But how could he get the remainder of the pieces and set them together when they were secretly guarded by the proud descendants of the conquistadors? The crown of Coyapan lured him on to new romance and danger. You won't want to miss one single sentence of this new thrilling serial of romance and adventure, which begins in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers to be found in every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Frontpage Dramas present Lost a Fortune in a Revolution That Never Happened. This week's Frontpage Drama, Lost a Fortune in a Revolution That Never Happened, is a dramatization of a true life story of the same name, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. The magazine with the great